Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in this weekend. Here we are at the end of February. We're knocking on the door of spring, and what we're talking about are those little tidbits of what was that, or geez, I didn't know that was in there, when you're in your deep freeze. And we're going to clean that stuff out and help you salvage a little bit of it.
Is that a human head?
Yeah, right. No, that's head cheese. Yeah, you can cook that. You got to grill it extra well done, though. But Barbecue Bob, I found some 2014 crappie. Crappie Joppy.
There's a reason they call them Crappie Joppy.
Yeah, in the freezer. And I'm like, ooh, this is over 2 years old. But you know what? I said, I'm going to give it a run, because the way I take care of the fish after I get them cleaned and I put them in the freezer is that thing was in a gallon bag, double bagged with water in there, and they were frozen suspended in the water. So I really never have to worry about any freezer burn whatsoever. They're, you know, it's kind of this little cryogenic state that they're in, and they're just frozen in there. And then I just took them out of the bag, and we were talking about this during the break, is that you take them and put them in the sink, take them out of the bag, and then put a little salt water, you know, fill the sink up a little bit, put a little salt water in there, and it'll help do two things. One, it'll melt the ice a little bit quicker, but two, it's almost like a little bit of a brine.
And then
for the
when
fish.
I do that, I usually use like a room temperature water. I don't use
right.
hot.
Correct.
And I don't use cold, but that ice is going to cool off the water in there fairly quickly, and you do want it to thaw. You don't want it to take 10 hours, because then you'll get into a danger zone with your meat. Fish, chicken, real sensitive to the danger zone on temperatures.
Absolutely.
That's anything above 41 degrees.
Right. Great tip, because you want it just to thaw out, and they'll start floating around in there. And then, you know, there's always a little ball of them in the center that are the last yep. to thaw. So just walk by the sink every once in a while, grab the ones out that are thawed, maybe dry them off a little bit, and then put them in the Ziploc bag and put them back in the fridge till they're all.
So how'd you cook them?
Well, I just deep fried them, man. I love it. And, you know, our friend Captain Ken from Gyra Charters, he's my go-to guy when I want to do fried fish, because the guy cooks walleye every day, and these crappie certainly aren't walleye, but they can be cooked the same way.
And they're
way.
Already pretty small fillets, so you, what, cut them in half?
Right. Yeah, you know what? Because that's
they're
where
so
I was
small.
Going with it. I love these things like a little potato chip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 350 oil. I leave them in there. When they float, they're done, right? And you batter them up, and we can talk about that at another show, the battering. But the point is that I usually leave them in there, let them float for maybe another 30 seconds. I usually, when they start to float, I pull them out, but then it just crisps them up that little bit more. And these little thin fillets, they're like eating potato chips. Oh, man, are they
I'm
good.
So hungry, I can't stand
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you put a little salt on those, and it's like, man, that is a treat.
Now, another way to do that, like if you have a little bigger fish, like some walleye, or if you maybe been to Alaska and you come back with chunks of cod or halibut or anything like that, you can cut those up into little cubes and bread them as cubes. Do the same thing, fry them, deep fry them, however you want to get them done. You can even bake them, actually, if you want to, in a real hot oven. But then you can make fish tacos, and I love fish tacos.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit firmer fish for those so they don't fall apart when you're rolling them around, or are you just leaving them on like a cookie sheet and then just letting them cook like that and not moving them?
It just, you know, if you drop them in the heat quick, they tend to firm up real quick. So I tend to like to do it with steelhead. That's
right.
One of my favorite fish.
Uh-huh.
And those, again, a small cube and just a little bit of breading. Progresso breadcrumbs work really nice. And then you pull them out and you hit them with a little Mrs. Dash and lemon pepper. Oh, man. So good.
So they're just damp and you're just rolling them in those.
Progresso
those
breadcrumbs.
Those crumbs,
yeah,
right?
They're so
yeah.
good.
No egg wash, nothing
no,
like that.
No,
right,
no,
exactly.
Keep all the junk off them.
Right. Why not? You know? So what else, man? We're, you know what? All of those things are great, healthy food. And our friends at Snap Fitness always are advocates of us eating a little bit healthier, getting a little bit extra exercise. And they've come on to help us share with you some of these great recipes and great techniques that we've done.
That's right. If it weren't for sponsors like Snap Fitness and all these great sponsors we have, we wouldn't put the show on, because it costs a lot of money to build a radio show. And with people like Snap Fitness behind us, it's awesome. And also they're helping us get in shape. And what I like about Snap Fitness is I have a card. I swipe it on the door. I go in whenever I want. I've actually got a personal trainer. His name's Jason. He's a former Marine. And he whips the crap out of me every Saturday after the show. And he's a brute, and he's not easy on me. But you know what? I'm not losing a ton of weight. I'm building muscle. And so I'm converting all this flab into something a little firmer. So when I walk, my boobs don't jiggle.
Damn, I'm going to miss that.
Well, it feels nice to start getting some strength back. And I notice, like, when I'm cutting wood, like when I'm shaving these logs, which I like to do, if I get 15 minutes, I just run out and peel a couple. My back doesn't hurt like it was.
Sure.
And the love handles
strengthening
are melting
that core. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. A couple weeks ago, we talked about your smoke shack that you're building. So how many of these logs are you going to need to draw there's a big pile there, man.
I've got them about half done now. So I've probably done around 40, and I got about 40 more to go.
So you're drawing
and they're not
bark
big.
Off
they're only 8-inch around, 8-9 inches around.
Pine.
They're small. Yeah, because they're the tops from what they trimmed for the telephone poles. They cut them off our hunting property up at Whipple Lake, Ted Baucamp's place. So it's just, they were, you know, it's something this big machine comes in and buzzes a tree down and runs it through a conveyor belt and chops 8-foot, 3-inch sections for the rest of the leftovers. And there's just beautiful log sections, and it was killing me that they were laying in the woods.
I see. So you went around, plucked them up.
I kept hauling them back every time I'd come home.
So did you do the math? You got enough of them
to
make the cabin?
I do. And like I said before, your partner in home life, Brad the Builder, gave me some great ideas and actually changed the way I'm going to build it a little bit and took a little bit of a load off me because I was kind of sweating it. I've never built a log house, and
we built a few of them, so he knows. Absolutely knows. That's exactly right.
Well, log homes were actually brought into the U.S. by Finnish migrants. So that's another bit of my heritage. So that's kind of one of the reasons I want to build one, is just to prove that I can.
Yeah, that, and it's a place to go outside and sit around the fire when you're not in the weather, right?
And I get to buy another chainsaw.
Right. Yeah, there's that. And you're calling, you know, I notice you're calling it a grill house.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a grill in it, or is it just you got to walk by one to get to it?
I'm replicating the stone grill from, if you've ever seen pictures from the Salt Lick in Texas, they have the coolest big, they've got a giant one about the size of our studio table here, but it's this big round fire pit with a crank above it that cranks the grill up and down, and it's all wood fired, it's all wood fired, and they do sausage and ribs and all kinds of things on it. Well, I'm just going to have a small version of that, and I've got lots of stones on my property, so it'll be masonry. It'll be forever. It'll be awesome. I just can't wait to get it done.
I'm sure I'll be toting a log or two when the time comes.
I'm counting on it.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, if you can't work, you can't play, right?
That's
so
right.
I'm going to want to sit in there at some point.
You're going
to
have to hit SAP fitness a little harder, though, and get that back built up.
Right. Well, coming up next, Barbecue Bob has been out east, and he had a visit with one of our sponsors for Operation GI Barbecue, the owner and founder of Henry Repeating Arms. And you're going to want to listen to this interview with him, because this is one generous, patriotic dude that is all behind our Operation GI Barbecue. And we're so pleased to have him as a sponsor, and we're very, very happy to give him a little love on the air. You've been listening to Grilling Guys. Thanks for tuning in this week. We got one more segment. You're going to listen to Mr. Imperato. So stick with us. We'll be back.